Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Looking forward to the weekend. Thursday, what's Thursday? Thursday, today, yeah. It's Friday, Friday.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store, I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
The first thing he says there is, I mentioned inside. What is he, outside? I'm just telling the guys in the back, my liver's all twisted up. Like, it's just sort of, he starts down that road as if he's just talking to, like, his, you know, his dad or something. Yeah. Like, I just mentioned inside. I was talking about this. My liver's all twisted up. I went on a binge session of buying booze. But he's actually saying it to a crowd of people.
Yeah.
Who seem impressed with it.
I don't know. I've never seen that movie, so I don't know.
What's the last movie you've seen for the first time?
Man.
I don't have an answer ready for myself.
Avengers.
For yeah, me. Right. Maybe even the first. Wait, hold on. What's the one with the cool 70s soundtrack? Chris Pratt.
Oh,
Guardians.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. That. The first one. Right, there was a follow up to that, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's a second one.
They went last year and saw that without me, Kirsten and the boys and a couple of their friends. But the original of that is almost definitely the last movie I've seen.
Now, this is funny. You may or may not remember me going to see that.
I do.
You do?
Yep.
Before a training camp show.
Uh-huh.
What song is the first song or the like when the credits are playing? I don't know if it's after his mom dies,
isn't it Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede?
Is it?
That's the song that I think of for that soundtrack more because Leo played the living daylights out of that soundtrack, and I feel like that's the song, but I'm not sure.
I love that song. The song I'm thinking of is Redbone, Come and Get Your Love.
Okay, it could be. I don't remember the order that well.
I just remember liking that, sort of getting into the movie. The movie to me is ridiculous. Like all superhero movies, like, oh my God, it's the worst. They're so boring. But I like the music. Like I like that.
Yeah,
part.
It was very good that way, I think.
We're talking about the first song.
Yeah.
It's Come and Get Your Love.
Okay. Redbone. He's right. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But the other one's good. I can listen to that.
Yeah.
I love all that. I also love Ambrosia. Just not the food Ambrosia.
I have that version of Hooked on a Feeling on a 45 at home.
What's a 45? That's like the smaller one?
That's a single. A side, B side, two songs, that's it. 45.
Want to bring up Erik Karlsson. So San Jose loses, and he today tweets, "Thank you, San Jose, it's been great." Which is kind of weird because he's going into free agency. Wouldn't San Jose, if he's Erik Karlsson, wouldn't like, did it go badly with him personally or something? Like, it was just odd that the player is saying goodbye before, like, if Jeff Skinner did that somehow today, we'd just totally freak out. Like, right. Thank you, Buffalo. It's been great. Does that mean he's 100% out? Like, it probably means that. Anyway, Skinner did not do that. This is Karlsson we're talking about. He'll be 29 next Friday. And he played 60 games in his 19-year-old season. So this will be, next year will be his 11th year in the league.
Yep.
What should happen with him? And maybe if you have this, what do you want to have happen with Karlsson?
Where
do you want him?
Yeah.
I love to watch him. I never watched him in San Jose.
Yeah.
Like If I'm watching him for the pleasure of it, I'd want him in the East.
When he's right, and he was, it's so tough for them that it ended the way it ended, because there was a pocket within this year's playoffs where he looked healthy and was just running the game. I mean, was just running it. And then, you know, something tweaked, and that was the end of that. And he didn't even play in the elimination game. Didn't even make the trip. So, I mean, he is a pleasure to watch for sure. But I kind of don't want him in my hair. You know, I don't want him to go to Tampa. Or maybe I do. It's going to take probably a huge contract to land him. And he has had 3 years in a row now of really last year was pretty good, but it started slow because he was not healthy from the year before, and eventually he got to being himself and was dominant, and this year was that mostly, but still it ended badly. Like, I'm a little worried about him. Like, so maybe I want a division rival to take him and pay him huge money and then be stuck.
I would predict good things ahead for him. He's such a smart player, too, that shouldn't he be able to pace himself? Shouldn't he be able to play at a level where he's elite and, like, he's not, maybe it's not as rigorous for him, but I still think he should have value for years. And so I do think also someone will pay him in kind. Like, somebody will pay him a big, big contract, even though he'll be old for that. You know, he's not Chara, but Chara exists. When Zdeno Chara was a rookie in the NHL, as he's about to play in the Cup Finals, the league leader in assists was Wayne Gretzky.
Right. Wow.
I mean,
that's amazing.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, well, this is Tom Brady, too. Like, 10 years ago, it's almost over.
Right.
You know,
and it looked like it was really, really over for Chara 2 years ago. And you know, I have a thing, you know, big dogs, you know, they don't last as long, you know. So you're 6'9". Good luck holding it together there, big man.
I love that guy.
And he has done, me too.
That guy's amazing.
I've always been a huge fan of his. I mean, I really, really, everything about, I mean, I know, you know, he gets away with stuff. Whatever, man. Like, I think he's a pretty honest player. The stuff he gets away with is just, you know, it's like how you want a big, intimidating defenseman to play. And he's been offensively excellent at times. I don't think he's still producing like he was, obviously. But he's fantastic. His story, I mean, he was kind of a freak. 6'9". I remember the cover of the Hockey News when the Islanders drafted him. And it was just, you know, get ready for this. Is this really going to work? Ah! And he made himself into a player. Like, he was not ready-made. He did not come out of that draft and then eventually with the Islanders and like, be this player that was just so good. Like, he made himself into what he is. And I have tremendous respect for anybody that does that. I mean, he had success. He was obviously got a lot of attention because of his size, and it's a curiosity, and okay. But in a league where speed has become more and more and more at a premium, and players like him, 10 years younger than him, have been just left in the dust, for him to still be playing at the level he's playing at, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you can hate him all you want because he's a rival. And, I mean, I hate the Bruins.
Whatever.
I adore that player. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
Marchand is gross. Chara and Bergeron are giants. Those two guys, you know?
Yep.
I am on the Blues because of the price. I'm on the Blues at, like, plus 140. I'm not sure it's that high. But it's a coin flip to me. Like, the Bruins have gotten great goaltending. And, you know, I think this is probably what the NBC broadcast sounds like. How important it is and how Rask has won before and, or, you know, been great before. Not won before, but, like, it wouldn't be surprising in a certain way because he's a name that you know. The other guy is not. Like, he's just he's new this year, Binnington, and, you know, it's different. But the Bruins goalie has had a lot to do with their success.
No doubt.
And so I want to go against that.
The first game in Carolina... You watch it with the goalies. The
it's just getting started.
that first game in Carolina in this series that they just wrapped up. They swept Carolina. Game three, there is a sequence. I mean, Carolina was absolutely stomping them, and there's a sequence of saves. I even saw it like make its way around on my Twitter feed just the other day. I mean, Rask was just unreal. Like, there's no, like, oh, he's just taking up space and playing. Like, he made, I mean, there's that. I mean, he's technically sound, but it's also, there was just recovery and athleticism. I mean, just all of it. He was beautiful. So what? So nothing.
So I'll take the Blues because, you know, that's kind of what I want to do. I want the underdog. Looks like a coin flip to me. And, maybe the goalie, well, you know, there's just a lot of luck in that. So, and I'll want the Blues, but now I'll actually want them.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I'm just telling you that I want them. Right. Now I'll actually want them because I'm vested.
Yeah. I'm not going to bet it, but I want them to. I'm just, you know, Boston's gross. Even though I like Chara, and I sort of echo what you're saying about Bergeron, too. And I, you know, Marchand's gross, but... I think you'd love to have a guy like that on your team, even with all the junk. Just, I mean, he's a fantastic player. It's not like he's just a sideshow. There is a sideshow element to him that is annoying, and you have to sort of live with it, but not even all of that is bad. Because there's something that brings out in your opponent that can ultimately help you.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, that it all works. You know, it's gross, but it's effective.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Sneaky Joe is with us. He's coming up at 7 tonight with the nightcap. Troy Aikman and his status as a Hall of Fame quarterback is back in the news for the first time since Joe made it news, whenever that was. And so I wonder if that might come up tonight. Donovan McNabb says, I deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And the first, like, sort of defense he made to TMZ was, I have better numbers than Troy Aikman, which he does. But I don't know who's a guy now that would have way better numbers, even maybe than Donovan McNabb, and people would not, because the way the passing game evolves.
Right.
And, you know, Dallas's team was such that they had Emmitt Smith. They had the all-time leading rusher. So it's not like Aikman had to do everything. It's not good enough to say, I belong in the Hall of Fame because, whether it's Troy Aikman or not, here's the worst person at my position who's in the Hall of Fame, and I was better than that guy.
Right.
The Harold Baines thing. Rick Farrell is the name of a catcher from the old days in baseball that, like, sort of became the worst player in the Hall of Fame. And so for Hall of Fame arguments, oh, that guy was way better than Rick Farrell, you know? So that's where, McNabb, although they're contemporaries from the same division.
Yeah.
But I wonder if Joe will play with that.
Oh, you can bet on it. It's going to happen, yeah.
And what was the thing? Aikman deleted what he said to you or dropped out, blocked you, or what did he do?
The tweet got deleted. I still don't know how, but the tweet is just not there anymore.
Your tweet?
Yeah. I have screenshots of it because it was on ESPN.
Wait, what? So, did Troy Aikman or Fox get your tweet scrubbed from existence?
That's a theory that he reported it for spam or something. And
work on that conspiracy.
I want that. That's the one I want to be true because that means he cared that much about it.
Right. Well, that would be beautiful.
Which he probably put Hall of Famer in quotes.
Right. Which he probably did because he searched his own name most likely in the first place.
Right.
Right. You didn't add him.
No, I did not.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
McNabb added him, but.
Yeah.
Did he? McNabb tweeted at Aikman?
No, but the story I read was, I think, tagged him.
Maybe. Oh, he'll love that.
Yeah.
he'll love all this.
Yeah, I had a trivia game for you guys, but I didn't think we'd have enough time to name 73 quarterbacks with more
73.
Ready? McNabb, Troy Aikman, Bledsoe, Kelly,
Unitas.
These are all right.
Namath, it's six.
Jurgensen,
Stabler, Fouts.
Yep.
Theismann.
Manning, Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger.
There's a few Mannings on here.
Collins,
yeah. Archie Manning.
All right.
This should be easier. Bradshaw, Staubach. I'm just so 70s and 80s guy now.
Right.
Always
right.
have been. No. More touchdowns than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Correct.
Wait, what?
That's the one that started it.
What just happened here? Did you answer? Did you ask the question?
Yes, he did.
Did I black out where you asked the question?
73 quarterbacks have thrown for more touchdowns than Troy Aikman, okay. And these are like 15 of them so far.
Okay, wow.
We're just getting going here.
A couple of good ones right ahead of him. John Kitna, Brad Johnson. Some funny ones. Andy Dalton.
Both Cowboys. Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco would be one.
Oh, way up there.
Way up there.
30th.
Ken Anderson would be one.
Yes.
Dan Fouts.
Yep.
Yep.
Elway. Has anybody said John Elway?
John Elway, yes. No. How about Ron Jaworski?
Patrick Mahomes threw 50 last year, but he's not there yet.
No, he is. He's a third of the way there.
He's almost to Aikman.
If he does that two or three more times, he's got it.
Randall Cunningham. Tarkenton.
Cunningham, yeah.
Dan I'm looking at Culpepper's Pastorini.
Ooh. Oh, Bulldog. You had to go with your boyfriend.
He's got to be. Come on.
Zorn. Dave Craig.
I love Dan Pastorini. I got a thing. No.
I'm not seeing him, but there's a lot of names here. I may have missed it.
All right. Hang on. I'm going to fire up my own Google machine.
Len Dawson.
Yep. Len Dawson. How about players that could catch him this year? Kirk Cousins, if he has a good enough season.
Would Jim McMahon have thrown more touchdown passes than Troy Aikman did?
No way.
No?
No.
What's the number again? 150?
Yeah, the number for Aikman is 165.
Jeez. Did Jim McMahon throw 160?
No way.
Jim McMahon threw for 100.
Dan Pastorini threw for 103.
Ooh, so he's way back.
Kurt Warner. Definitely right.
I'm so sad.
Steve McNair. The late Steve McNair on this list.
Is Cam Newton to 150?
Yep, 182.
Oof, I like that.
Active quarterbacks ahead of him, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Andrew Luck, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith, Russell Wilson.
Joe is so fired up about this.
Joe Flacco, Matthew Stafford, half a league, basically.
Justin tweets in Bernie Kosar?
Maybe. Teammates.
No, only 124 for Bernie
Kosar. Only 124.
Teammates, Super Bowl ring.
Right.
How about Neil O'Donnell? Testaverde would be one. Testaverde's
got to be right.
Played forever.
I'll bet Neil O'Donnell's not.
120 for Neil O'Donnell.
How many did Joe Ferguson throw in?
Vinny Testaverde is 16th all-time in touchdown passes.
That sounds right.
He played like 70 years.
Ferguson went 73 to like 86, maybe. 80 Detroit, Tampa at the end of his career.
Right.
Would Ferguson in that many years, that's like 12 a year? I'm going to say yes.
Joe Ferguson is right. He has 196.
That's great.
45th all
time.
That's
great news.
Tied
Baxter. Bob Greasy.
Happy about this list.
Marino.
Yes.
Marino. Favre.
Yes.
Rodgers.
Yes. Yeah, the top guys, the Givens.
Breeze. Did somebody say Breeze already?
I don't think I've heard Breeze. Did Michael Vick throw for more touchdowns than Troy Aikman?
No, he did not. 133.
Did Richard Todd? No, but Ken O'Brien, I'm going to say, did.
Yes, Ken O'Brien, for sure.
I'm going to say Ken O'Brien. Esiason did.
Definitely, too. Yes, both
we're,
of those.
We're in the Jet library right now.
All right. But not Richard Todd.
I feel like we've knocked off a pretty good chunk
How
of
How about Richard Todd? I'm not sure about Richard Todd, but I think no.
Two Ds?
Two Ds, yeah.
124.
How about Burt Jones?
124.
Right here. Come on!
They're tied. Burt Jones, Bernie Kosar, and Richard Todd all threw for the same amount of touchdown passes.
Unless one of them comes back, that will always be true.
Could happen. Who's the most likely of the three to come back? Kosar? Probably.
Maybe. Or they do a thing like baseball does sometimes where, like, actually, he had 191 RBIs.
Right.
We looked back at the newspaper
fix
articles.
Fix it. Right.
We looked closer.
Stupid.
You know, this Pro Football Reference, which I love every day, I'm on that site. All the reference sites, I love them so much. They sometimes bog down my computer, but I still love them. They can do no wrong for me. So I'm looking at, once in a while, like an older box score, the kind of questions we ask and talk about. I'll look at an older box score, and the play-by-play won't be on there. They have play-by-play for, you know, for every game going back a certain number of years. And I reached out to the guy once to say, listen, I enjoy looking back at these old games, and a lot of them are on YouTube in completion. Like, I could do the play-by-play for you. And he said, no thanks. And I was sad about that because I was just volunteering.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I'll watch a Charger game from the early 80s that Enberg and Merlin Olsen broadcast. There are so many good ones, and they're like, a lot of them are there, way more than there are Bills games from those years for whatever reason. The Steelers and the Chargers and the Cowboys are well represented. And I'll watch those games front to back unless I fall asleep. That's when I'm watching them, late at night. Like, I'll watch that game and listen to Enberg and watch and Summerall and watch the whole thing. And the guy said, no, it's all right. No, thanks. I'm like, I was annoyed by that. Like, why? I love you so much. Would you please let me do this for you?
Right.
Maybe I'll just do it once and send it to him and see what happens. Write the play-by-play out for a game from the late 70s. Monday Night Football. A lot of those Monday Night Football broadcasts from the early 70s are on YouTube. And those are less interesting to me because they're just so dark, usually.
Right.
And the broadcast is not quite as good for me, even though it's Cosell. But they're there. I mean, if you want that, just go search. There are these people that just put up these old broadcasts. I don't know. Like, maybe they're on borrowed time because of licensing or something.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Like, they're there.
I wonder if that's why the guy doesn't want you to send the play-by-play.
I don't know.
I mean, it could be. I don't know.
I don't know who the person even is, but I thought it could have been a good thing to do. Coming up, Aaron Schatz will preview the football season a little bit, talk about different teams, including the Bills, of course. Stay tuned. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Always a little bit nostalgic when we have Aaron Schatz on the line. Happy to have him. Aaron with Football Outsiders joins us now on the Wester Hotline. Aaron, how's life?
Hey, life is good, man. Busy, 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 working on the preseason book.
All right. Well, we'll talk a lot of football here, but I do want to ask you a question. For all the times you've been on, I think I've never asked you before. And that is, if you go to Aaron's Twitter page, you see him sitting with Seth Meyers on the set of Seth Meyers' late night show on NBC. Aaron, with all due respect, how the heck did that happen? All right, like, how did you end up on that show?
Seth Meyers is one of my Twitter followers. He's a regular buyer of the Football Outsiders Almanac, one of our readers, and so I reached out to him, to be on the show 2 years ago.
And he was like, let's do it. I mean, he obviously was up for that.
Yeah, definitely. Got me in touch with the bookers, and we did the show. It was great. It was a lot of fun, one of the most fun things I've done.
Howie Mandel was on that night. Did you get to interact with him?
No, it's a surprise. I didn't realize. I thought it would be like when I'd done like ESPN stuff where everybody's sitting in the same green room. But when you do like a big show like that, everybody gets their own dressing room. So I never even interacted with the other guests.
And also a Senator Tammy Duckworth was also on that show. And
yep.
I'm seeing that now. And so Seth Meyers, like I feel like if he follows you, he really knows the NFL.
Yeah, he's a huge Steelers fan.
So he impressed. Did you know that already? Like, did you know that he was like knowledgeable and an avid fan before he went on there? Or did you get a chance to talk to him and maybe find out more about that?
Yeah, he'll ask me questions about the Steelers sometimes in direct messages, like what I think about what moves they've made and stuff.
I wonder what he does with that information. You think he just puts it in his pocket, or does he? I don't know. I wonder.
But. Brett brags at cocktail parties.
Well, given the way Steelers fans are, he probably kind of agonizes over it because the Steelers are like the one fan base that instead of always arguing that their team is better than you say they are, they always seem to be arguing that their team is worse than you say they are.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a nice problem to have as a fan. What is that? That's like an alternate universe from where we've been living for, I don't know, our entire adult lives, Aaron.
And it's not even fans of all really good teams are like that, but it's something about Steelers fans that I've found.
That's so interesting. I wonder why, too. Like, they are the ones who, the Pittsburgh fans will argue that their team is worse than, because then I guess you'd have to flip it and be like, guys who say, I hate your team, you'd be like, I actually love the Steelers. You'd have to flip that.
Look, hey, look, we're going to it for this year. Our numbers like the Steelers more than conventional wisdom, again. So
yeah.
Oh, here we are. I'm going to be waving the flag for the Steelers again, and the Steelers fans are going to be like, oh, no, our team is falling apart. Look at all the drama that we had this offseason. No more Antonio Brown. No more this. No more that. I mean, you know, no more Le'Veon Bell, but they almost made the playoffs last year, and they didn't have Le'Veon Bell last year. So
right.
I think their defense, they've got a lot of talent on defense. And on offense, you know, Roethlisberger's getting a little older, but, you know, with like a lot of these older quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, obviously Brady and Breeze, like we're still waiting for him to fall off the cliff. It's
right. going
to happen at some point, but it's hard to predict that this is the year for any of those guys.
Well, how do you think they will, like, getting past Bell is one thing. We've probably talked with you dozens of times about running backs and their value and how replaceable even the very best guys can be and still not really alter overall team performance that dramatically. How about Antonio Brown? You know, they're not exactly bereft of receivers, but Brown might be the best, and he's gone. So how do you think they offset that?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, that's a hard one to overcome. I think their offense is not going to be as good as it was last year because Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers in the league, and you don't just snap your fingers and replace that. That way, you know, that being said, they still have a number one receiver in Juju Smith-Schuster. So they've got guys waiting in the wings like James Washington. They should be able to still have a strong passing game. It's probably not going to be as strong without Antonio Brown. But one of the things that they still have is offensive line continuity. They're going to have a new right tackle this year, but the rest of that offensive line has played together 4 or 5 years without missing a lot of time.
Roethlisberger led the league, maybe by a lot, in attempts last year. Roethlisberger threw more than double the number of passes last year Josh Allen did. And I know Josh Allen didn't start every week, but 320 attempts for the Bills quarterback. Roethlisberger, 675. I mean, how can we go, yeah, he's in decline or whatever? Like, when you're throwing, like, this, that's a, maybe even his career high. It's a crazy number. That's more than 40 a week.
Projections for this year, I think our projections, early projections that I've done, we would have probably Roethlisberger with at least 150 more pass attempts than Allen. It's just a very different offense.
Yeah, right. So how about the Bills, Aaron? I think this year I've detected so far more optimism from the sort of the objective, you know, quotes, the national crowd, a little bit, the media. Have you thought that or noticed that, and are you a part of it?
I've noticed a lot of optimism about the moves that the Bills have made in the offseason, that they've made a lot of good moves. And here's the thing. I think they've made a lot of good moves. The problem is that where they were going to be before those moves is not as good as I think where Bills fans think that they would be before those moves. So even after making a lot of good moves, I'm not that optimistic about them. On defense, it simply comes down to the issue of defense being much less consistent than offense, right? So this team was really lifted by its defense. They were second or third in our defensive ratings last year, and they're likely not going to be that good again. And it's nothing about the personnel. It's just because of how defense is in the NFL. It's just inconsistent from year to year. And on offense, I'm just, again, we go back to the same problem that we have every time I've spoken to you guys for the last year, which is I'm just not a Josh Allen believer. I do not think that there is an NFL starting quarterback in there waiting to come out and develop. And if I'm wrong, then, I mean, you know, they've done a lot to give him help. But if I'm right, then they're still in trouble.
Mm-hmm. How are you? I'm not sure. I'm not meaning to rush to this question, but how are you on schedules We have, you know, the as always, the strength of schedule ratings based on last year's record, and or even, you know, other guys are doing taking that up a level, you know, incorporating moves and everything. But like the AFC East teams have, it's thought, as far as we can tell, the weaker schedules this year based on the division matchups. What is that something you respect?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, I have to respect that idea as much as I respect my own projections, right? Because we do projections, and thus we do schedule strength based on our projections. Now, we know that our projections are not going to be completely accurate. We're going to be wrong about some teams, and therefore our projection of schedule strength is going to be wrong about some teams. But our projection of schedule strength is as good as our team projections are. And when you look at our team projections, we absolutely have Buffalo with one of the easier schedules in the league. So we have them with more average wins in a season than you would get from a team with a similar overall rating.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's one of the reasons why, like, I know that defense fluctuates. Like, I think Mike might have learned that from you initially, and, like, we've talked about it many, many times with you and then just on our regular show, Aaron. But the level of opposition would lend itself to think, I think, at least on the surface, from my view, that the defense has a reasonable chance of being pretty good because they're not facing really dominant offenses.
I don't have a difference between the offense and defense schedules in front of me, but yeah, I mean, look, Miami is our projected worst team in the league. The Jets, you know, are about in the same place Buffalo is, you know, as far as, you know, an easy schedule
right.
will make them look better than they are. And they've got a lot of pieces that could come together, but might not. And then you've got the teams they play. I mean, Washington and the Giants are a mess. So that, I mean, Washington's not a mess, but, you know, rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's sort of a mess on purpose, I guess, because they want to, you know, they want Haskins to learn. And I'm assuming that Haskins is going to be starting the whole year. If he's not starting the whole year, he'll be starting from pretty early on, I'm guessing. And then the other division that they play is the...
North, AFC North.
North. Okay, well, that's a good division. I mean, that's, you know, Cleveland's going to be better this year. Pittsburgh's going to be better than people generally think they are. Baltimore is still a good team. But overall, the Buffalo schedule, yeah, the Buffalo schedule comes out as...
You mentioned the Giants. Just real quick, Aaron, are you enjoying the Giants as much as everybody else with Gettleman and all the different things?
He really has set himself up as the arch rival of all of us analytics people, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I try not to dabble in Schadenfreude, so I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, allow me to, like, take joy out of the Giants fans' misery. I mean, so, you know, not every team gets to be good. Some teams have to be bad, and right now it looks like the Giants are one of those teams. I would hope that they would get things better. I too was shocked by taking Daniel Jones 6th overall. given his, you have to put so much weight on the idea that his college performance was bad because of his lack of teammates and the difficult schedule that Duke played. You have to put so much weight on those two things to believe that he is a top 10 pick. I can't imagine those two things being that important.
Right. There's not only, like, making the selection, but, and maybe Gettleman was just, I've said before that it almost sounded like he was trolling everyone, talking about just how casually he arrived at the decision. That's how he depicted it anyway. He went to the Senior Bowl, watched a couple of drives, and fell in love. And like, wow, that just does not sound like how I'd want to choose my quarterback.
They're going to do the Aaron Rodgers plan, and they were going to leave him on the bench for 3 years. Nobody leaves a rookie quarterback on the bench for 3 years in the modern NFL. I mean, you ask me, of the three quarterbacks taken in the first round, who's going to play the fewest games this year? I think it's Jones, right? Like, my guess is that Jones doesn't come in until, like, December. But, you know, it's once you've got that rookie, you turn the team over to him. You know, you don't wait 3 years or whatever. And, hey, listen, it was a good pick for Buffalo fans, because it's one of the reasons why they were able to get Oliver.
Right.
Right? Oliver was, mm-hmm. pick was that?
Nine.
So if it wasn't for the players that got taken 6, 7, and 8 not being Oliver, Buffalo would have not gotten Oliver. And listen, I mean, like I said, despite the fact that I expect regression from the defense, it doesn't mean that I don't appreciate the moves that the team made in the offseason, and Oliver was a great pick.
Talking to Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders, stay with us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR. Welcome back, and happy Memorial Day weekend. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with the man from Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz. What did you think of the 12 hours or less or whatever we had where it looked like the Bills were getting Antonio Brown? Did you go ahead and process that? I doubt you did numbers on it, but like what should that have meant? What would that have meant to them?
I mean, it would have been a sweet add. It would have been a sweet addition. What can you say? I guess he's one of the, I think even after last year's sort of down year, you have to think that he's one of the 10 best receivers in the league. That would have been a really big plus. You know, I mean, the difference between a guy who's really done it, like Antonio Brown, and a guy who, God, he's always been the guy that we think is going to do it, like John Brown, is a big difference. But I didn't count my chickens before they hatched.
Okay. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders. Speaking of the quarterbacks drafted, Kyler Murray, what do you expect?
Well, it's interesting because our projection system is still based pretty heavily on experience for top prospects, and it's hard to know what to expect when you have guys like Murray and Haskins who have 1 year of starting experience.
Right.
The number of quarterbacks in the NFL taken in the first two rounds who have only 1 year of starting experience, like it's not that it's a bad group, it's that it's basically a non-existent group. I mean, you're talking about like Mitch Trubisky, Brock Osweiler, Mark Sanchez. I mean, you have to go back to guys like Matt Blunden in 1992 to start finding guys with 1 year of starting experience. The other thing is it's interesting trying to project Arizona's fantasy stats because you have, on one hand, Kyler Murray, who you expect to run the ball a lot. On the other hand, I don't know if there's a head coach in college football who is as pass-centric as Cliff Kingsbury. So how are you going to sort of balance those two things? I think we're going to expect Murray to throw the ball more than most people expect just because that's just how Kingsbury does it.
We had Mike Clay on this week, and he told us how Murray, he knew that Murray was aware of his projections on him and that was about 100 rushes. And Murray told him, it's going to be way more than that. So I kind of like that.
Yeah, we actually have less than that because we're trying to think of how Cliff Kingsbury calls an offense. But you don't know because Cliff Kingsbury's never had a player like this. It's very difficult to sort of figure out where you get the balance between Kingsbury, his scheming on one hand, and Murray's abilities on the other.
Right. What do you expect the Gronkowski effect to be in New England?
I mean, I think it hurts them. We don't have them as our number one team in the AFC for the first time in many years going into the season. There's no question that that's a big loss. Were their offense going to suddenly fall apart? No. But if you look back at the last 4 or 5 years, like there's no question, Brady's numbers are not as good without Gronkowski in the lineup. And they're not really replacing him. I mean, Benjamin Watson is 38 years old. That is not a replacement.
You have Kansas City one?
We have the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, is that right?
Wow, all right.
That's kind of cool.
I guess the Chiefs, too. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I think with the Chiefs, you've got to, I mean, the defense is still looks like a bit of a mess. And your offense, we're expecting a little bit of regression because just they were so extreme last year. But also, we don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill, but we're figuring they're going to lose him for at least half the season.
Right.
All right. You mentioned the Browns a little bit ago. Are you big on that being like a home run? Like, is that a team that is projecting as like a 10 or 11 win team, or is that a little too fast?
I think it's Jeff Schwartz, the former NFL tackle, who said on Twitter that there's no value in the Browns over under at this point because it's not like you're predicting that they'll be bad, but their over-under is like 9. And as many talented players as they've added, like how can you predict that the average of their possibilities is higher than that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're sort of along those same lines. Like, we're going to end up with Pittsburgh higher than Cleveland. I think we're going to end up with Cleveland as the sixth or seventh team in the AFC, and Pittsburgh is third or fourth. But I mean, I love what Cleveland's doing. I think they're building a wonderful team. I think they're getting a lot of talent, but we expect some regression from their defense, which had a lot of turnovers last year. That tends to regress towards the mean from year to year. There is going to be, I think, improvement on the offense, but, you know, they were so good in the second half of the year last year on offense. But in general, teams that improve that much on offense in the second half of the year, it doesn't carry over as much to the following year as you would expect. Like, it's much easier to predict how good they'll be on offense based on all 16 games of last year rather than just the last eight.
That's a really important point, I think, and any, for anybody who's trying to figure stuff out. You know, like, and the Bills had some good days late in the season last year. They played weak teams in that stretch, and I think that's a really important thing. And by the way, since you mentioned over-under in the Browns, I remember now that a couple of years ago, their over-under was 4, and I'm like, being the somewhat of a slave to projections as I am, come on, 4. Like, that's nothing to win 4. I bet Aaron would say they'll probably win at least 4 games because the worst teams probably will do that, and they, you know, 0-16, so I lost on that. Right.
Yeah, I think Hugh Jackson was a bad coach to an almost unmatched degree. That team was not bad enough to go 0-16, but they went 0-16 anyway.
What's Miami? Like, what's the what kind of number would you need to bet under on Miami?
To bet under on Miami, I think we have their average season now at 4.4 wins.
All right.
I mean, they're the worst team by a fairly good margin.
That's about what Cleveland might have been a couple years ago. That's probably probably close to that. Interesting.
Oh, we won't have any team that is as good, predicted to be as good as Miami is predicted to be bad.
Okay. There it is. Aaron, any questions for us?
No, man. It's always good to talk to you guys. It's always good to hear how Bills Nation is thinking.
Thank you. I mean, it's kind of a thing. Like, here we are, the three of us. Here we are, right? I mean, all these years, we still talk once in a while. Used to be more, and things are kind of the same as ever. I mean, it's just really how little it's changed in whatever it is. It could be more than a decade since we started calling you. I mean, it really just has not changed at all.
Listen, I would love, for Bill's fan's sake, I would love to be wrong about Allen, right? And I mean, it would be wonderful if they could build the team that takes over when the Patriots, you know, when Brady and Belichick finally retire. That would be great for those fans to have that happiness. But, I mean, at this point, as far as, like, pulling for a fan base that hasn't had a lot of happiness in a long time, all three of the other AFC East teams sort of
right.
That. So
that's right.
I mean, at some point, somebody's going to have some happiness because the Patriots are not going to keep going like till the end of time.
See, this again is something he could have said in 2012 to us.
I marked the date this year. It was right after the draft. Mike said, Brady's not going to be good forever. Like, one of us always gets there in the spring, and it's just like for years and years and years, probably a good 10 years, we've been saying it that way, and here we are.
But
it's true.
It's true, right, but I don't walk around thinking that. Like, more of just the fact that we have 5 days a week to do.
Right, yeah.
That is more just
same,
like...
Same here, right.
You know, you got to change the words and the sound a little bit now and then. But it's true. It is true. Someday that will be the case. Aaron, have a great holiday weekend. Thanks, as always, for your time.
All right. Talk to you guys probably sooner, too, when the book comes out in a month or two.
I'd love that. Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, on Twitter at @FO_AShatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z. I was looking at some over-unders today. I told you yesterday I was having a conversation with a guy and felt a little bit like I had my pants down for that. I want to make sure that, you know, that doesn't happen again. But I'm not ready to bet them. It is still May. At the same time, most teams are pretty much set.
Yeah, that's right. I heard, have you noticed, I heard Howard say the other day, and I'm not sure if everybody's looking at the same sites here, but the Bills number has crept up to 7.
I looked at it last, like a month ago, and it was 7.
Okay.
On one, I mean, maybe it's going to be different on different sites, too.
All right.
But the last time, this would have been yesterday, 7 and like minus 115 for the over, which is basically, it's kind of 50-50 with 7. 803-0550 is our number. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing.
again. Gentlemen, be free.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.